You're fine. You're ready for that surgery, aren't you?
Yeah.
I would ask, I know, let me just say this. I realize that we kind of pop up and down, but it's some exercises all I get in a week. But I do ask you to stand as you are able in reverence for God's holy word. If it's hard to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. What we are studying today is from Jesus' most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And in that are so many beautiful things. So many things that he taught us about personal holiness and about social holiness, about living a life that pleases God. And in the middle of that, he teaches us how to pray. And we call this the Lord's Prayer. I am doing my own personal Bible study now, my devotional time and my study time in Matthew. And when I was reading this, it was almost like God just smacked me and said, you know, too many times you say the words, but are you really meaning it? You know, it's kind of like, I pledge allegiance to the flag. I mean, sometimes we just say the words. We don't actually hear. Our minds can wander when we're doing something that is so familiar. But Jesus wasn't just giving us a rote prayer to say. He was teaching us the essential elements of prayer. So today we're going to look at those elements of prayer. There are five that are listed in Matthew. There's a little more in Luke. But in Matthew, he begins with praise. Every time we come before God, the first words out of our mouth ought to be praise. He's God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the saver of our souls. He is the one, the only God Almighty. And, you know, sometimes we just walk into his presence like we were walking into McDonald's and ordering a cup of coffee or a Big Mac. We've kind of lost part of our awe. It is an awesome thing to be speaking to the Lord God Almighty. It's awesome. It is amazing that the creator of all that is and was and ever shall be would listen to me. That he'd listen to you and really listen, care what we're saying. The first thing should always be praise. Hallowed, honored is your very name. God is so amazing. And yet, sometimes we just act like he's old buddy God. It's not wrong to think of God as your father, Christ as your brother. It is not he intends for us. It's our father. But folks, I'm just going to say it. You can handle it, right? To treat God like your buddy is blaspheming. To treat him like you treat the person that you're talking to in line, to treat him, oh, good old God. I'm sorry, that's blasphemy. God is God. He is awesome. We're not to be afraid of him, but we should be in awe to be in his presence. We forget how powerful he is when we don't treat him correctly. So I urge you, as you begin to pray, do as Christ taught us and begin with praise. Just because he's God and deserves it. And then the next thing is, he alters our perspective. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many times do I go to God with my list of things I want? Now, I know you all don't do that. But I do it. Every once in a while, I just go to God with my little laundry list of, Lord, this is, I would really like for this person to be healed, and I'd really like, not bad things, not even necessarily selfish things. But I go to him with my little laundry list of the things I'd like to see, just, you know, in case he wants my advice on any of this. The way that the prayer is written is so that we will alter our perspective, not try to change God's, but to alter our perspective that it is his kingdom and his will that needs to be happening on earth like it is in heaven. In heaven, don't you think that when God says something, it happens right like that? Do you think the angels wait around? You think the angels say, I'll get to that God after my coffee break? I'll get around that next week, Lord. You know I really want to serve you, so next week. We need to pray that his will would happen here. I wonder what the world would look like if we all were so obedient that his will was happening here. People wonder what's going on, you know. How can God let all this happen? God doesn't let all this happen, folks. We do. If you want to look at the ills of the world and say, how can a just God let this happen? It's not God that's letting it happen. It's us. Because we are operating in our will, not his. So, we need to get some perspective when we go to the Lord to pray. One of the things that the Bible teaches us is when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. Boy, am I glad about that. Because do I need that? Yes. And so many times it's just like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray in this situation. I don't even know what to pray. So not only are you going to have to figure out and answer this prayer, yes, no, maybe later, whatever you're going to answer, you're going to have to pray it for me. Because I simply don't know what to pray. Aren't you glad he can do it for you? But we need to gain his perspective. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not build up my kingdom and do what I want. And then we ask for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give us filet mignon for the next year. But today, daily bread. Now that's not just praying for food. It is praying for your provision for today. The problem with praying about the future is then we figure, well, I already prayed for that. I don't have to worry about it. And we forget that it is our daily provision that we are obliged to God for. And we begin to think that it's us. We begin to think that we're the ones that can make the good things happen. And there's twofold problem with that. Number one is we get very arrogant. And number two, we get very stressed. It's arrogant to think that it just depends on you. That's arrogance. Let me explain something to you. What do you have control over? Really? Give me what you've got control over. The only thing you have control over is your own response. That's it. That is the total limit of your free will. Your free will is limited to yes, I will obey God, or no, I will not. That's it. Sum total of your free will. Yes, I will obey, or no, I won't. You can't change anything. You cannot change your spouse, so quit trying. Oh, there's some disappointed faces. There's some disappointed folk. And Peggy's weeping. You can't change. You really can't change your circumstances. Too many things have to happen for your circumstance to change that you have no control over. It doesn't mean that you don't work. Don't hear something I'm not saying. But it does mean that you understand that ultimately it is God that is in control of providing for you. And the good news about that is He loves you. Head over heels. Crazy kind of love. Amazing love. So every day, just depend on Him to meet the needs of the day. What do we worry about? Worry about your kids. Health. Job. Let me ask you, is everyone in this room breathing? Anybody here not breathing? Then you must have what you need. You have what you need right now. All your worries about something that's going to happen in the future or not happen in the future, right? It's not about this exact moment right now, because this exact moment right now, you're fine, aren't you? This exact moment right now, you have all that you need. All worry comes from, well, what if? I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know what we're going to do. I got surgery next week. She ain't worried about it. It's all about the future. Even if the future is only a few minutes from now. It's always about just you're fine right now. God is providing. If he has provided for you up until this moment and is providing for you right now, he's going to provide for you in the future. In the next minutes, in the next weeks, in the next years, God will provide. Our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. The greatest gift God has given us is pardon. It's a better gift than health. It's a better gift than wealth. It's a better gift than any material thing you can think of. Folks, the greatest gift God ever gave you was forgiveness. And it's that gift that keeps on giving. And he expects us to give it to others. You know, this is the only one with a condition. Forgive us as we also have forgiven. If you are holding a grudge, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, if there's something you're hanging on to and not trying to let go of, if there is something that you just rub that little sore, pick the scab off, you're not forgiven. Uh-oh. Now, I'm not always saying that it's easy to forgive, and some people have had horrendous things happen to them. And it takes time. And sometimes you think you've forgiven and then realize you haven't, and you have to start over. Been there, done that. Have a t-shirt and a mug. Susan was trying to forgive, but she hadn't done it yet. You know, you think you have. And then you see them. You know, you were doing fine till you saw them. There is no grudge that I want bad enough that I want to go to hell for it. End of story. If God can forgive me, if God can forgive you, if God can forgive Jeffrey Dahmer, surely you can forgive somebody who hurt your little feelings. You can even forgive people who've done terrible things to you. I'm not saying you got to hang with them. You know, sometimes that's just not even safe. And I'm talking sometimes people have abusive people in their lives. I'm not telling you to hang with them. But you have to forgive them. Because God forgave you. And God's economy every sin is equal. Now, I realize that's not true in our economy. In our economy, you know, somebody said something that hurt your feelings is, you know, here, and somebody that abused a child is here, and, you know, there's all kinds. We have grades. But with God, God is perfection. Therefore, sin is sin. We need to get to that point. That's back to getting perspective. Sin is sin. And your little gossip was just as bad a sin to God as somebody that committed murder. It's not to us. But remember, we're supposed to get his perspective. Sin is sin. So forgiveness is essential. And I am not making light of terrible things that have happened. Please believe me, I'm not. I'm simply saying that you're only hurting yourself by hanging on to it. Let it go. Be free. That's what pardon is. It is being set free. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but deliver us from the evil one. Let me ask you a question. Who in this room on your own can beat the devil? Let me see your hand. No? I'm glad you realize that. Because on your own, the devil gonna whoop you silly. He's gonna throw you down on the ground, and he is gonna trample you. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, which means he can't devour everybody. Remember we had that sermon a few weeks ago? He can't devour everybody. He's looking for who he can. How do you not get devoured? Is you have the protection of Almighty God, and don't remove yourself from that protection. Stay in it. How do you remove yourself from God's protection? All right, one time. Danny? Not following God's will. What'd you say, Jerry?
Disobeying.
If you live in deliberate sin, God will eventually remove his protection. Read about Israel. God was patient. They rebelled, and finally said, God said, all right. And he took his hands off. If you are in deliberate sin, you are toying with losing God's protection. If you do not forgive, you are toying with losing God's protection. If you start getting all proud about how wonderful you are toying with losing God's protection. Every time we pray, we need to pray for that protection. Is there a time that you would like to not be protected? I mean, you know, like 5 o'clock on Tuesdays. You know, God, I want you to protect me every time, but from 5 to 5:15 on Tuesday, you can just let that go. Is there a point in life where you don't want protection? Well, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Jesus told us to ask for protection. This is Jesus' teaching, folks. Deliver us from the time of trial, because the trial's going to come. Deliver us. Protect us. save us from the evil one. Because he's out there prowling around, looking for who is vulnerable. So how do you pray? I want you to just think about, I want to think about the last time you prayed, which hopefully was sometime today. I'm hoping you're not having to stretch your memory too far. But what did you pray for? Did you give him praise? Did you ask him for his protection, his provision? Did you ask for pardon? Folks, every moment of every day, we are open to prayer. It says pray continually. It's just like, don't ever break the link. I got to tell you this story because it was hysterical. This week, we were meeting with the local pastors. I'm on the district committee for not evaluating, but checking in with all the local pastors every year just to see how things are going, you know, how their ministry's going. Is there anything that we can do to help, etc.? And so one of them told this story of coming home this past summer, coming home from local pastor school. And they were driving down the interstate, come back from local pastor school. And he bent down, you know, just looked down for a second to set his cruise control. And when he looked up, he was looking into a woman's windshield. 70 miles an hour, straight at them. It's when the interstate's like this, came down here, straight at them, missed by that much. He jerked the wheel. She went around him, down another embankment. Nobody hurt. But he said he was driving, he looked down, somebody, one of the other preachers, there's three preachers in the car, one of them yelled, "Look out!" And he looked up and looked straight into her window, and he said he yelled, "Jesus!" That's being in constant, in constant contact. Now some of y'all might have said something else. It was a miracle. It truly was a miracle that no one was hurt. But be in that constant contact so that you know that he's right there in that moment of crisis. God is with you at all times. Be in constant communication. That's how you pray. I wonder what your life would look like if you prayed this prayer and meant it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.